Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show. We are live in Las Vegas for Summer League. With me, I've got Rockets beat writer Kelly Eco. Kelly, what's up?
Yo, Vegas.
So glad you're here. It's good to have you on a pod, man.
I know. Gotta get me on more.
I know, for real. Jerome Chang.
What's up?
Raptors expert from The Athletic. Yes. Thanks so much for joining.
Oh, super happy to be here. Super happy to still be alive here in Vegas.
Right. No kidding.
Was it day three?
Day three.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's all just one big day to me.
It's been a blur.
Like, I don't know what this is. Kelly, we got to talk about your Rockets team because that was one of the more fun games so far. I think maybe the Magic Warriors game is probably the most fun, but that one, just seeing Jalen Green do what he did off the dribble. He created probably like every single shot you could want him to. He showcased everything that you'd want him to. What was the stuff that you saw, and then what are you looking forward to seeing today?
So the first thing I saw, and it was kind of surprising when the game began, was that he didn't look to assert himself early on.
Yeah.
You know, Kyrie Thomas, Josh Christopher, they had the ball too.
Yep.
And he was kind of working his way into the game, and then all of a sudden he hits the first shot. Then he hits the second shot.
Yeah.
Then he's feeling, then the crowd's getting into it, and then he's just moving and moving and moving. And I think, because everyone knows he's a gifted scorer.
Yeah.
Everyone knows he can be three-level scorer. He can be a top five scorer in the NBA.
Yeah.
Like in the next 2-3 years. But what I was looking for was the playmaking.
Yeah.
The Rockets want to see, can he make those reads at the next level? Can he play under a Stephen Silas offense that, you know, even though there aren't set plays, there are sets that they want to play out from. It's a free-flowing offense, and they want you to kind of see how you can maneuver in a half-court setting. I want to see the defense. You know, they're going to target him on defense. He's 6'5", 190, if that, you know. So from the playmaking standpoint, he made some good passes.
Yeah.
Could have made some more. But at 19 years old, he was electric. And I don't think there are too many holes in his game right now.
Yeah, there weren't many people that grabbed a hold of the crowd like he did.
Right.
I mean, people went once he started, and you knew that he was going to put on a step back or something. Like, everybody was just ready for it.
Right.
And the fact that he's finishing them, because there's been lots of like almost highlights throughout the entire like summer league, and he was just incredible from start to finish. Yeah. Like he was super fun. Alperen Şengün, 16th pick in the draft. First, there's a little tension between you and I because of the 16th pick.
I'm just here to help keep like everything peaceful, right?
I know. You should have been sitting in between us.
Loki should have been sitting in the middle, Jerome.
The cool thing's over.
You're right. So on draft night, the Thunder trade the rights to the 16th pick, which was going to be Şengün, to the Rockets in exchange for two future first-round picks. Now, giving up two future firsts is a lot for the 16th pick, but you can think about it in that way, in a vacuum. Like, you don't give up two picks to get the 16th pick, but the Rockets thought it was worthwhile to give up two picks for specifically Şengün.
Right.
What are your thoughts on his first game?
So I kind of have a conspiracy theory about Şengün.
Okay.
But I do think that the Rockets taking him is kind of early, but they're prepping for possibly life after Christian Wood.
Yeah.
You know, because in 2 years' time, he's going to be, you know, up for a max contract.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Houston will give it to him, but from his game, I think the Rockets fans are going to fall in love with him. The hustle is there. He reminds me of a lot of Luis Scola.
Yeah.
In the sense that, he's kind of frail and he's not going to be the best defender, but he put on an excellent performance game one.
He did.
He was in the right spots, spatial awareness. He uses length well, and, you know, his hands kind of need some work, but he didn't give up any plays. And I think just from a hustle standpoint and an energy, Rockets fans want to see guys that care.
Yeah.
You know, after you win 17 games, there aren't a lot of positives to take away from the season. Mm-hmm. But Şengün is somebody who wants to play. He can't speak a lot of English, but he knows the game of basketball.
He does.
And he's a smart player. He's a good passer. He understands, you know, angles and stuff like that. And he's somebody who I think fans can get behind, you know, early on.
Sounds like he could be a good complimentary piece with Jalen.
Right.
Right.
And that's the most important thing. Like, you want to get guys that are going to be able to play well with Jalen going forward for the next, you know, 5, 6, 7 years. So it's a good thing that they have the similar timeline, you know, coming from Turkey, being an MVP. He understands the game, playing with older guys also as well.
Yep.
You know, because Jalen Green played in the G League with a lot of older vets.
Yeah.
So now you get the chance to kind of grow together. And I think from that standpoint of just being a young team, going through the motions and going through the years together, by year three, year four, you might see a really good player in Schengen.
Yeah. Scotty Barnes. Scotty Barnes made his debut.
Yep.
Airballed his first three.
We sat together, watched it, and
I think I called him a bust within like the first 2 minutes.
It was bust watch over the meteor.
I'm just trying to make you sweat. You know, that's really.
I mean, the Vegas Heat is doing enough of that.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, that's so true. But he settled down in the second quarter, and you saw everything that everybody was talking about before the draft. Like the defense was there. Yep. He used his length and athleticism. He's handling the ball at the top. He took threes. He took four threes, which was a little surprising to see that he was just he was looking for him.
It was like an answer just to everyone's questioning his shooting at that point.
I mean, Vecini called him a no-level score.
Right.
And for a no-level score, I'm serious. It sounds like so insulting. But Barnes, 18, 10, 5 assists, 2 steals, and a block. Like, he filled it up. And they weren't, like, meaningless moments. Like, he showed the hustle.
Oh, he was affecting the game in every way.
I love watching him, yeah.
No, I was such a big fan of it. We were watching together, and I remember I mean, Malachi Flynn was in that game, and I was just so enamored with his scoring that I made the claim there of just, oh, I think he's the best player in this game. And then you're like, it's maybe Scotty Barnes. And I look up at the box score, and I just think, oh, he's doing everything out there. It is fantastic to see that. And I think that's also, you know, the ongoing debate is going to keep going, whether it's with everyone in the NBA or specifically within the Raptors fan base of should we have drafted Scotty over someone that we will talk about eventually.
He can't even say his name. He can't even say it.
You know, I mean, like, for programming sake, we'll get to it when we get to it. We won't go on a tangent at that point. But no, it was really good to watch him. I think a lot of the decision of why getting Scotty was not just like his talent and what he could do, but just like the profile and how it fits the team.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think to that end, you know, you're looking at a roster now. It's a lot of 6'9 dudes with a big wingspan. And like outside of the stats that we're talking about, one thing we all noticed when we were watching, he's big.
Yeah.
He just, in terms of when you talk about like an NBA ready body, like that is a person who does not look like he's going to struggle against the pros in the league. And beyond that, like the production was there. It was really exciting. I think everyone coming out of it was really high on Scotty after the first air ball.
After the first air ball. And like a lot of those guys get nerves. I was talking to Jeremiah Robinson Earl, who was drafted 32nd by the Thunder earlier today, and he took four threes. He said his first two, he said, were definitely like welcome to the NBA moments for him, where he's just like, he's real short on him. He's used to shooting the college three. And then he was like, okay, now I feel ready.
Right.
So like we have to, it's just so funny, like being on Twitter and like wanting that instant reaction, like everybody, like you have to have a take like almost immediately. But that's difficult with Summer League, because even after we see them play 4 or 5 games, like, you still can't say like definitively know anything about these guys.
I think if anything, you want to come out of it knowing that they have a good performance, that it bodes well for later on. Like you just don't want them to come up short at Summer League, and then that would maybe raise a cause for concern.
Yeah.
So do you see Barnes as more of a like a secondary, tertiary playmaker type, or can he be an initiator like in the NBA?
I think he's starting with like a secondary playmaker, just with everyone we have on our team and like the ball dominance we'll need in our guard side. But beyond, like it's good to know he has those skills, right? At that size, being able to create the plays like on the move, I think everything bodes well. Like that's something that is really exciting to like get from a rookie early on. Like we were just talking about Jalen Green and looking for the playmaking. I think we're starting to already see some signs of it with Scotty Barnes. And so, yeah, it's a lot to look forward to.
Right. Yeah. The new thing that people are saying is when you ask like what position they play, like what are they going to do in the game is, I don't know, position. They're just a basketball player.
Right. Positionless basketball.
And I'm just like, it kind of drives me crazy because like, yeah, I know they're a basketball player. They're all basketball players. Of course they are. You mentioned Malachi Flynn. He's been one of the more impressive second-year guys. He was very poised. His shot looked great. He was just extremely decisive. What were your thoughts on Flynn from last season to the first game?
I think that's what it is right there, like very decisive. We joke about it a lot. You know, we already have Fred VanVleet, and it just seems like we brought his younger brother in.
Yeah.
But like not just in all that he does by way of like shot creation, doing things that way, but like you said, he just seems so poised. And that's also one of those things that you really come across when you go to a summer league and you see a player who has had a full year of experience. they just look like completely levels ahead of people who are just figuring out the league right now. And yeah. I think that was shown so clearly in that first game. We more than often than not, you just saw him breaking down dudes. Yeah. Like you hear a lot of like, oof, like yeah. over out there in the crowd, which is a fun thing, you know? Yeah. So I think on that front, and it was to the point that, you know, it made me not immediately realize too, right. just all the production that Scotty was doing. So that's yep. how you can tell how good he was out there.
Yep. I want to talk about Josh Christopher, who was really fun in that game.
Right.
Like you can tell, like, he really wants to get his own bucket. You watch him play, and he plays like he's the best player on the floor.
Yeah.
I think he probably believes that.
Yeah.
You wrote a piece on him at The Athletic. What are your thoughts on his game and kind of his approach?
I think the most impressive thing about him is when you look at where he comes from, the background. His dad is somebody who's a devout Christian. His brothers played basketball. So did his sister.
Mm-hmm.
His grandma loves basketball. He's somebody who understands kind of the basketball hierarchy. So
yeah.
he knows that people didn't come to see him. I mean, there are some fans that came to see him, but people came to see Jalen Green. People
yep.
came to see Evan Mobley.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still going to make his impact felt.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny that coming into the draft, you see scouts, you see mock drafts. They were saying that defense was kind of the biggest question mark about Christopher's game.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to the combine and you see him and he's yelling every possession. He's talking to everybody. He's screaming. He's playing his ass off, like, fair to say, on defense. And mm-hmm. now Summer League comes and he's looking like Pat Beverly out there.
He's locked in.
I was talking to him and he told me that, you know, the Rockets kind of gave him like a guy to model after, which was Jrue Holiday, of somebody who can handle the ball. He can score, but he's known for lockdown defense. And, you mm-hmm. know, Christopher's a big dude, 6'5". 6'9", 6'10", wingspan, 215. He's a big guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, he can be a good off-ball guard. The only problem is I think that the Rockets kind of have a lot of guards to deal with. So the minutes might be hard to come by early on. So he might be, you know, in the G League for a little bit. But
yeah.
but from a summer league standpoint, he's a phenomenal player. Like,
yeah.
like you saw him driving downhill, pulling up from mid-range. Like, he's confident. He's a Mm-hmm. He's a swaggy guy.
Yep, he is.
and that's coming from Arizona State, you know, the whole 13 legacy, James Harden yep. and everything. And, you know, I think he has a good future ahead of him.
Yeah. I love the swings that the Rockets took.
Yeah.
I mean, they're in a position where
– to do that.
They may lose their picks after these next two seasons.
Yeah.
Like, if they're good enough, if they're, like, play-in ready by the time that these next 2 years are over, like, they're losing their picks moving forward. And so they have, like, these 2 years – to get it done,
right,
and to figure out who their core is going to be. So I love the swings that they took. I think all three guys that played yesterday are high ceiling guys,
right.
And with Christopher is a lower floor probably, but just take a swing.
Yeah,
here it's late in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do it. Let's talk about Evan Mobley. He of the top five guys probably was the least productive in his first game, but he showed some great flashes. Jerome, what did you see from Mobley?
First thing, like, again, just being here in person, he's a big dude.
Yeah,
and very huge. and then to your point there, I think what's really impressive about it, I think it's probably very difficult for big men, especially at Summer League, to make their impact in that kind of way. But you saw flashes of skill combined with it, right? He mm-hmm. he was making certain plays, certain like to the rim, and I think at that point you're thinking like, okay, there are things there. And obviously, like, we're talking about a lot of exciting players that, like, guards have a really good opportunity of, like, really getting production out there. But it's nothing I don't think there is a cause of concern when it comes to Mobley. He looks really solid out there. And I think that's just something that, you know, with a big man, you're going to need more time to, like, see that develop more and more and show up.
Yeah, no doubt.
Do you see him fitting well with, you know, Jared Allen in the front court?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm going to defer that to you. I'm curious.
So,
yeah.
The way I see it, you know, Allen isn't a quote-unquote floor spacer.
Right.
But he's shown he can hit an NBA three.
Yeah, he'll take him.
So, Mobley, I don't really see him as a big man. Like, if you see him out there, he's moving like Durant. Like, he's moving.
He moves like a wing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, he does. And he's somebody that you can – like, yeah, you can put him in lineups at small ball big and do stuff like that, but he's going to be more dynamic beating guys off the dribble who take him for granted.
Yeah.
you know, guys that underestimate his speed and his quickness, because he can do it all out there.
Yep.
And the first game, you know, first game jitters, kind of took him a while to get going, but he showed flashes for sure.
Yeah.
The rim protection, the athleticism.
I think it's sneaky because he's so big, you don't expect that.
Right. Yeah. So I think that's why the Cavs, you know, at three, they didn't even think twice. Like, that's going to be our guy.
Yep. Yeah, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about regrets. Draft day regrets. Discover the latest collections from David Yurman, as seen recently, styled on basketball stars like Jaime Jaquez, Jalen Green, D'Angelo Russell, and others. David Yurman is a celebrated American jewelry company inspired by the beauty of art, architecture, and the natural world. The story of David Yurman begins in New York City, with David, a sculptor, and his wife Sybil, a painter and ceramicist. When the artists began collaborating, their goal was to simply make beautiful designed objects to wear. Over 40 years later, the Yurmans and their son Evan continue to redefine American luxury jewelry with timeless, modern collections for women and men defined by inspiration, innovation, consummate craftsmanship, and Cable, the brand's artistic signature. David Yurman's collections are available on davidyurman.com. And we're back after that quick break. Jerome, the time has come. You've got to say the name. We've got to talk about the game that happened last night. Your thoughts on Jalen Suggs?
He's good. He's a baller. He's very good. I think very similar to our first reactions when we saw the Scotty air ball. When we saw Jalen Suggs just go off right from the start.
Yeah.
Everyone was yelling at me. And I remember yelling back, we don't know yet.
Yeah. This is nothing.
But no, he's fantastic. Yeah. I think everything from his composure to his creation, he did not look like a rookie playing his first game in the NBA in that.
Yeah.
And probably in the most exciting game so far we've seen at Summer League. So I think everyone started standing on that final possession. I think we all wanted him to get game winner.
Oh my goodness.
Right after getting that defensive play, it was fantastic. So I think to that end, you can definitely see me in the crowd and some people on Raptors Twitter sweating a little bit of whether it was the right call or not. But I think it does go down to, at that point, again, like, what did we have as a roster at the time? What was the profile? What kind of player we were needing to get? Because, you know, you can make the argument of, like, best player available, but when you're talking about a Jalen Suggs and a Scottie Barnes, like, you're talking about two completely different...
Did you order this cart to come through so that things would be all messed up?
That's
for
my
the Jalen
Uber Eats
Suggs
order right now.
Wow. I knew you were nervous about it, but I didn't think you'd go to these kind of lengths send people through the arena.
I mean, you saw me on my phone ahead. What do you think I was doing preparing for this exact moment? I was timing it out.
So I'm going to make my Summer League hot take based off of one game.
Yes.
Let's
okay.
Yes.
By the time all rookie voting is in, Cade Cunningham is going to be on the verge of second team.
We got to talk about Cade. Let's just talk about it. What did you think of Cade's first performance? Is there anything to do with that or what? Or just the performance of the other guys?
I think it's the other guys.
Yeah.
I think first of all, I love Killian Hayes. And I think seeing him over a full year, you're going to see how, you know, Rico Suave of a playmaker he really is.
Yeah.
Like, he's somebody who can make all those reads. He's smooth. Cade is great. From obviously, he hit the first two threes, and everyone thought he was going for 40.
Yep.
And it was funny because I remember going back and watching the highlights, and they said he kind of cooled off after that.
Yeah.
And you look at the box score, and it was 5 for 17 from the field, but it's like, that's first game jitters. I'm just joking.
Yeah.
But I do think, like what he said, Suggs, man. Like, and you can tell guys that have it. Like, you know, the last play of the game, he's bending down with the ball. He knows that he has it.
Yeah.
He understood the moment.
Yeah. He and the defense was even more impressive for me for Suggs. And
completely.
I think that's what's going to get Orlando fans, you know, him and Wagner, whenever, you know, he comes to play. But I think Suggs, Green, who was there?
Barnes. Barnes really good.
Kuminga.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Trey Murphy.
Murphy was good.
That's a sleeper right there.
Yeah.
So
yeah, Murphy was really good.
This is the Summer League hot take. But Cade Cunningham, second team all rookie.
It's a credit to like how good the pool is. That's right there. Yeah.
Davion Mitchell too.
Oh yeah.
Of guys that stood out to me, he was one where he was undeniable. And just on the defensive end, he did some stuff on offense. Like he showcased his first step and got to the rim and made some nice passes. But the fact that he took Booknight completely out of the game.
Oh, my God. Another guy was good.
I felt really bad for James Booknight. Like, I honestly was just like, oh, no. Like, yeah, first game jitters are like a thing. But first game just being completely shut down by somebody else in your rookie class is like a whole nother level. Because Booknight was supposed to be the guy that comes in and has more counters than anybody else in this draft class.
Right.
And if you're going to use those counters, like, this is the perfect person to use it on. Like, he's going to try to lock you down. Let's see what you got. And he trapped him in the corner in one possession. And, you know, James trying to get a shot off, and he just blocks it out of bounds, and they sat him after that.
This is a good class. I know coming into when you read a lot of mocks, people said that this is kind of an okay class. But I think this, by the time 2 years go by, you're going to see, like, half these guys are starters, like long-term starters.
Yeah, because we're seeing these guys play against second-year guys, some, like, real NBA guys.
Right.
And they just stand out. Like, top five guys, like, really stand out. Like, yeah.
It's a good one.
Yeah. Back to Jalen Suggs. They played back to just – I just got to twist the knife just a little bit more. They played this three-guard lineup pretty much exclusively with Jalen, where they played him, Cole Anthony, RJ Hampton together, which it was very fun. It was very fast-paced. It was very interesting. But it was just really cool to see because, like, Hampton's, like, that's a high recruit. Like, he's a guy that – was supposed to really do stuff. Same with Cole Anthony. Like, Cole Anthony came into the season, into his first college season, as a guy that was supposed to go, like, top six in the draft.
Yeah.
And Suggs is just so much better than those guys. Like, clearly the leader of that group on both ends.
And Fultz, too. When he comes back.
And Fultz. They've got a crew there of guys. But I just thought he was – obviously the offensive stuff was great. He had 24 points, 9 boards, 1 assist, 2 steals. But he – the defense – in the moment, you talk about recognizing the moment. Not only did he recognize the moment on the offensive end, but defensively, he just completely shut down what the Warriors wanted to do. He embarrassed Kyle Guy. It was really another time where I felt very bad for somebody during Summer League.
Yeah, shout out Kyle Guy and his NBA 2K just like default name to start off. But it was – that's entirely it there too. You know, we're talking about all the offensive side, but just seeing him defensively, because like before that final shot that we were hoping going, he's the one that makes a defensive play to actually get the possession.
Yep,
like he's apparently trying to start his career like Jordan ended in Utah. So, you know, it's, it was again, like he looks fantastic out there. And I will say, I am marking the calendar for when he first plays the Raptors.
He could have been in a uniform.
He could have been in a uniform.
Also, big shout out.
But like all that said, like joking aside, again, not taking away, Scottie Barnes is fantastic. He looks really good out there. So it's going to be fun to see how they all do.
Andrew, this is random, but I ran into Luke Dort, and that guy is huge.
He is. I mean, there's a reason they call him Lou the Beast. Like he's. He's ready, man. Like all the Thunder guys were here. Like literally the entire team, except for Derek Favors, is here.
Wow.
You know, they're
which I mean, like with Shea out there, it just looked like it was New York Fashion Week on the court side. Yeah.
No kidding. So the Thunder did play. They played the Pistons. They've only played one game so far. Right. Josh Giddey had one great possession and then a couple so-so possessions, and then he rolled his ankle and he's out and likely out for the rest of the Summer League, which is such a bummer. But he did have the one dunk. Thunder fans will always have the one dunk where he turned the corner. Cade completely died on that screen, the JRE set, and it was over.
Who said white man can't jump? Who said that?
What?
Who said white man can't jump?
That
wasn't me.
Better not be you. He definitely can. Spring is the best time to add new challenges to your training just in time for summer and warmer days. I know I'm looking outside right now. Sun's out, birds are chirping. It's time to start getting outside. I know that I like to get outside and play basketball with my kids. And honestly, I need to get into a fitness routine in order to keep up with these guys. And Peloton is there for me. Peloton's varying class lengths were designed with your training plan in mind. Personalize your workout, whether you'd like to add a 10-minute core session at the end of your strength class, or take a 60-minute power zone ride to increase your endurance. Peloton classes are designed to help focus on your needs and goals. Peloton's classes were made to challenge you.
There are a variety of classes like boot camps, boxing, full body strength, or marathon training, all created to grow your skills or push you to improve in what you're already excelling in. Peloton's program and instruction push you to be your best. Their expert coaches and nonstop vibes will push you to new levels of strength and endurance, keeping you on your toes while giving you the professional coaching you need. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run indoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. Get your head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Shout out to the Magic had this player, and if you watch the game, you know who he is. Tima was just a phenomenal summer league player. Like, mm-hmm. just like really fun to watch. He had the bleach blonde hair.
I thought that was
like,
Vegeta when I saw him.
Yeah. Like, he was just cool to watch. That was fun. In that same game, Jonathan Kuminga, who was picked seventh by the Warriors.
Yeah.
Like, the
there are too many players like to go through.
That's what I'm saying.
Which is why your hot take doesn't feel like it's like such a hot take. It's, again, never a detriment to any single player.
Right. Yep.
But we're looking at it and we really don't know who's coming out of this, like the top player or the top five players in this class.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, that's how, like, and I know there was a lot of talk about him being raw and him being not NBA ready, but he looks pretty damn good.
He's all, see, the most difficult thing about evaluating him is that it's like raw is maybe the wrong word, because when you think of a raw player, you think of like athlete only trying to learn the game. Like, he has always had, like, he's got a step back three in his game. He's a good passer. He's got a lot of, like, he can handle.
Right.
It was just always like, can he like link together everything and be consistent? And will he compete on the defensive end? I think we saw some of that yesterday. And as far as like NBA ready body, like, it's he and Barnes, where you're like, they're ready.
They're
like,
ready.
They're not going to struggle against anybody.
And he's going to benefit so well playing with Draymond.
Yes.
And playing with, you know, a healthy Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, obviously. But just being in that system is going to help you. Because Steve Kerr is going to make – he's going to – you have to learn quickly.
Yeah.
Like, we saw guys like Kelly Oubre kind of struggle with that, you know, processing, you know, from a Phoenix team to a Golden State team. So, I think it's good that Kuminga's in that system. It's good that they took that swing, I guess, if that's even a word for him.
Yeah.
But that's a great fit. It's a great fit.
Would you say it was also good that he came up through the Ignite here?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think by the time this year is done, you're going to see more players – look at Jalen Green and Kuminga as kind of success stories.
Right.
Without a doubt.
Like, you can do this. Like, college isn't the only route for players to get noticed in the NBA.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Kuminga's situation, not only the system, but the fact that he's with an organization that has, like, a clear hierarchy,
right,
I think might be the most important thing for him. Because I think if he goes to a team like the Magic or the Thunder or someplace like that, I think he'll arrive and be like, I am the guy. Like, you cannot deny that I'm the guy. Like, what else have you guys done? Has any of you made an all-star team? Like, nope. Like, I'm the guy. And I think the fact that he gets to go to the Warriors, where it's like legends of the game that are like living, playing legends are on the Warriors.
And playing in his position that he can go off of. Yeah.
Like, you have to fit in. Like, you have to fit in first, and then we can expand. And I think that's the perfect thing for him, because I think personality-wise, I think he tends to really believe that he's going to – like he said, I'm going to be a Hall of Fame player. Great. Let's shape your game. Let's make sure you have some consistency first.
Of course,
and then, like, I think he can be a star. I think this is probably the perfect situation for him if the Warriors are going to be patient and not think of him as, like, a trade asset.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So – all right. Anything else you guys want to talk about from Summer League? Any
Vegas do's and don'ts?
Yeah, you want to talk some Vegas do's and don'ts? Okay, yeah. Let's go.
Okay, number one, don't show up to the club wearing Adidas pants, because it's gonna
like
be
with
a
the stripe around the side.
With the stripe around the side, it's gonna be a rude awakening for you. You're not in your hometown city. They will send you away at the door.
But even if it's like a tearaway situation, if you even know it's about to turn up? No, okay.
Don't do it.
All right.
Stay in your resort.
Dues, I go to like a nice restaurant, because the food here is unbelievable.
Yeah. And I got to say, Schleckers are wearing some nice prints on his shirt.
I mean, this is entirely why we actually invested in this studio setup, is really just to highlight
just
the floral pattern. Those are Black Magic cameras. I think those are the same AKs that we had in the Phoenix crowd, just so we can, yeah, so. This is perfect.
Big shouts to my wife and to Fred Katz. I was doing a podcast. My wife walks in the door. She is on speakerphone with Fred Katz talking about my what I'm going to wear to Summer League. And she's like, we've got to help him. Like he's been at home for like the last year and a half. We got to help him. We got to get this guy some help. That's so good.
Shout out Fred.
Yeah.
Big shouts to Fred Katz. Thanks so much for listening to the Athletic NBA show. Be sure to listen to all the shows throughout the week. Again, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you guys again tomorrow.